Welcome again to this Open Arms Sunday. I especially want to thank the Mugs for leading us in singing and Laura in leading us in singing. She was signing Jesus Loves Me. I don't know if you saw that, but we're grateful for all of the gifts that the Mugs are bringing us today. All of our liturgists are active parts of Open Arms ministry. There are others working in the Promise classroom so that Mary can be here with us. We're grateful for everybody who's part of this ministry. Carly Tucci, who attends the Lionheart School, joined us today. She's a part of our young adult women's group that Ann Fife brings together about once a month. Carly was the greeter out in the hallway. I hope you got a chance to say hello to her this morning, and we're grateful to her for being here with her dad. I've been at APC almost 2 years now, and it seems to me that this is one of those ministries that people are really proud of in our church. It is a unique ministry, and whenever you talk to people at churches, there's agreement that it's a hard one to pull off. I think it's a ministry that, you know, if we had APC Letterman's jackets, we'd have a patch that says, we offer special needs ministry, because it's one that we're proud of when we go out in the community, say, yeah, we do this, we do it well. And I'm grateful to be part of it. I didn't arrive at APC with any training or knowledge of special needs ministries, and so I've learned a lot in these 2 years. And as I thought about all the things, I think the top two things that I've learned are, number one, families who have a child with special needs do whatever is necessary so that everybody is included. And number two, all of us who see ourselves as strong and able-bodied, we don't comprehend how we are changed by having these open arms, families, and kids here with us, how we are healed by this ministry. So we're going to try to think about these two things today. We're going to talk about healing stories in Luke. And yes, I'm claiming that Zacchaeus was healed. We'll get back to that in a few minutes. And I'm going to ask you to be like our open arms families and do whatever is necessary to make everybody feel included in our worship. Because we don't all worship the same way. And what better Sunday to acknowledge that than today? Some of us would like to talk during worship. Some of us would like to move during worship. Some of us would like to use our hands during worship. So just don't be alarmed when I stop and say, okay, now let's try this. For starters, I confess to being a doodler. Before I was sitting up here where you can all see me every Sunday, my bulletins were covered in doodles. Every O is colored in, every other tooth is blacked out. Every eye has big eyelashes. Every star has lots of things around it. So if you're like me and you really want to use your hands, if you hear better, if you think better, when your hands are busy, today's the day. Go ahead and get out that bulletin, grab that pen or pencil, and doodle away. If you start feeling like I'm not worshiping right, or if somebody's looking over at you, just don't worry about it. We all have different needs. And so if that's your need, go ahead and doodle. Now to talk about the healing stories. Reynolds Price was an amazing Duke English professor and a theologian. He himself translated all four Gospels from the Greek. He also had spinal cancer, and he wrote a novel called A Whole New Life that was in large part about his spinal cancer and treatments and life with that cancer. And in this book, he tells about a dream he had. He was on the beach, and Jesus was there. And he told Reynolds to go down into the water. And he followed him into the water. And he took water, and he poured it on his head, and it went down his back over the long, thick scar that he had that traced down his spine. And he said, "Your sins are forgiven." And he turned around and walked away. He was done. And Reynolds Price said, "What? Whoa, wait a minute. Don't come, wait. What about the cancer? What about the tumors? What about the surgeries?" And Jesus really sort of disinterestedly turned around and said, "Yeah, that too." When I say healing, what do you think of? Here's one of those ways. I'm going to give you a chance to worship differently. Sometimes people would like to talk on Sunday mornings. So here's your chance. Anybody, you can yell it out and I'll try to repeat it or come to you. When I say healing, what do you think of? Help? Helping. Oh. Forgiveness. I didn't hear that one. Mending. Mending. Patience. A mother.
Physical and spiritual healing.
Physical and spiritual healing. Wholeness. Yeah. Anything else that you think of when I say healing? Physical, emotional. Did somebody say something? Clean water and clean air. It's communal. It's personal. It's social. It's all of these things. That dream that Reynolds Price wrote about is very biblical. Have you noticed that in healing stories in the Bible, even when the physical problem is cured, Jesus is more interested in that "your sins are forgiven" line? When we're in the thick of it, we tend to focus on the cancer, the heart disease, the Alzheimer's, the special need. And Jesus wants us to know that our sins are forgiven. But it's not just the sins of that one person in the story that I think Jesus is talking about. The whole community is affected when a person is healed in Scripture. We have this narrow focus of this is the thing that needs to be healed on this particular person's body. But in this first century Mediterranean context, the concept of being healthy, the concept of well-being, of shalom, was a much bigger, more holistic concept. It included our physical well-being, but also our social relationships. It included our connection to God. It included how we are regarded by our larger community. These things were completely intertwined and not separable. So when we read these stories and we understand healing to be a comprehensive work in someone's life, it makes sense when we read these stories. And the gospel writers include these details about the crowd, how they went away in awe, how the person's spiritual life changed, how their sense of personal identity changed. In the story about the man being lowered through the roof, those religious elites, the foils against Jesus, were not happy. They were questioning, they were quarreling with Jesus, but in the end, amazement seized all of them. They glorified God. They were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen strange things today." As an aside, if you love the Stranger Things series, like I do, yeah, you can raise your hand. This is where I got the title. There's no theology of the upside down this morning. I'm sorry. That's all you're going to get. The man in the story was physically healed, but equally important was the healing in the community. Part of the community event was the faith that brought these people there, those friends who walked up to a perfectly fine house and recognized how it needed to be altered so that everyone who wanted to see Jesus could get inside. I think this might be our first ever record of a disability accommodation. Things like wheelchair ramps, handicap buttons on doors, close parking spots all follow in the footsteps of these creative friends. As do the families here at APC who started the Open Arms Ministry. It was them so many years ago who walked up to this church and said, "This is a perfectly good church, but let's make it better so everybody can have access to the worship and to the programs that are happening inside those doors." And I'm convinced that the presence of our Open Arms community has brought communal healing to all of us. This is well-timed. Some of us have a hard time sitting still and being quiet for this long. It really does happen right here, I promise. So I'm going to invite all who are able to stand up if you need to, if you want to, if your knees ache, if your back's tight. You can stay sitting if you'd like. If a person needed to stand up in the middle of a sermon, they would feel very awkward doing it. So that's why I'm asking everybody who's able to stand up so nobody feels awkward. You can take a stroll if you want to. You can raise your arms again if you want to. You can twist your back if you want to. There's not a lot you can do in the pew, but whatever it is, you can do it. So next Sunday, when Ollie's preaching, if somebody just stands up and takes a little stretch, don't be alarmed. This is how we all worship together. We bring these bodies with us, and we can't change them that much. So you can sit down whenever you're comfortable. Now we'll talk about Zacchaeus. This story isn't really typically included in the healing story genre. He's not physically disabled. But we do get a physical description of him, which Luke only includes in healing stories. So that gives us a clue about what's going to happen. There are other parts of this story that appear in healing stories when we read it in that holistic way. It's not about his physical condition. Jesus proclaimed that salvation had come to him in front of everybody. So he's not only talking to Zacchaeus, the whole crowd was transformed by that. They saw what Jesus said to this man, and so they were transformed in how they now see this man. Luke also usually uses the word salvation in healing stories. So that's our clue that when he uses that word, oh, somebody's being healed here. It's Zacchaeus, but it's also the crowd. He completely altered his life. He made deep commitments to be honest and to have integrity. And then Jesus takes it a step further and names him a child of Abraham, and he brings him fully back into the community. Zacchaeus was healed. He was brought into the community that really did not want him to be part of the community, and the community was healed by having him back with them. Just like those friends changed the house to get their paralyzed friend into the room with Jesus, Zacchaeus was also creative in making an inaccessible situation accessible for himself. This is something that disabled people and their families do on a daily basis. A holistic reading of Zacchaeus' story helps us notice that what healing means for gospel writers might not be how we think about it as just bodily transformation or cure. Healing means transformation of the community through really seeing someone, through really opening up and including them in the community. Who is included here? Who might be left out? Who belongs and who doesn't? We are constantly sending out messages that answer these questions, whether we mean to or not. I'm grateful to God that APC is a congregation that says all are welcome here. Even if you can't sit still and be quiet during worship, you are welcome to be in our worship. If you have disabilities that cause you to be loud, you are welcome. We have started the hard work of breaking the cycles of exclusion that exist in our society. This is the radical, countercultural work of being people who follow Jesus, because he tells us to welcome the outsider. He tells us to love the person who is different. He tells us to try to understand people who are misunderstood, to use everyone's gifts. People who have special needs who are baptized into this community, just like you and I are, need the same things that you and I need: to be included, to be involved, to be understood, to have their gifts and talents not only recognized, but put to use, to be known and valued individually as essential members of this congregation, to be loved. And according to the healing stories in the gospel, we will all be transformed by this good work. Amen.